The presidential motorcade has just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slate Show.
Everybody's talking about Harvey Weinstein, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time globiating on this, you know, fat bastard rapist, but I do want to say that this is how power is abused. This is how power is abused in Hollywood. It's how power is abused in government. It's how power is abused in Wall Street. It's how power is abused in your own world. You know, there's always somebody who has their own interest at hand, and their interest is probably not always on the up and up, okay? I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. And that's what I wanted to get at is I think there's a bigger picture here than the Hollywood casting couch. I mean, did you not think the Hollywood casting couch was there? Were you not thinking that that was something that happens? Everybody knows that that's happening. But what we have to look at is it's abuse of power. It's the fact that you weren't allowed through the gates into a possible career, into a world that you are unfamiliar with, and the world is unfamiliar with you. You weren't allowed by this gatekeeper until you did something that went against what your values were, that go against every fiber of your being. And it didn't just happen with Harvey Weinstein. Tippi Hedren was talking about Alfred Hitchcock. She said, I'm watching all the coverage on Weinstein. This is nothing new, nor is it limited to the entertainment industry. I dealt with sexual harassment all the time during my modeling and film career. Hitchcock wasn't the first. However, I wasn't going to take it anymore. So I simply walked away and didn't look back. Hitchcock said he would ruin my career, and I told him, do what you got to do. It has taken 50 years, but it is about time that women started standing up for themselves as they appear to be doing in the Weinstein case. Good for them. And see, that's the thing. I want to focus in on the aspect of power before it gets reframed, because what's happening on the left, they're reframing the Weinstein thing all the way down the line. Power abuse isn't simply white, straight males like the Rose McGowan tweets, you know, have been going out about. I mean, at first, when Rose McGowan came out and said that she was raped and basically exploited by Harvey Weinstein, I had her back. I mean, I knew that this is a morally corrupt individual. I mean, heck, she was the former wife to Marilyn Manson. I mean, what more do you need? I mean, she's in Charmed. Now, granted, there is a Charmed reboot coming up. Could be on Netflix. Ooh, nothing self-serving there, is it? Because there's never a time where somebody simply wants justice for the sake of justice. I mean, they never do. It does not matter. They always have an ulterior motive, whether it's to get their name back in lights, whether it's to restart a career. You know, you either go on Dancing with the Stars when you've been a washed-up has-been to get your career reboot, or you have something happen in the culture that you can monetize and that you can exploit. And that's basically what we're seeing happening here. I mean, why do you think Alyssa Milano has been out there just, you know, talking about Trump this, Trump that? Why do you think she's been out there public? Is it because she has something going for her as far as a career? What's she on, some top model show or something now? I think she's like some sort of baking show. Who knows? Whatever it is, no one knows what the heck it is because it's worthless. But she has to find a way to put herself into the news cycle, whether it's an entertainer standing up for women's rights against Donald Trump because he's a misogynist, you know, the same old song and dance. Rose McGowan, you know, when she stood up and said that what she had to say, I was thinking, okay, well, maybe there's something to this. Maybe she is legitimately out there saying that, you know, this is an issue, that something needs to be addressed, that she simply wants justice. But then you start to look at it and go, I don't know if that's the real goal with her. I don't know. I mean, because no one ever asked for justice. They want something more out of it. I mean, it's always been the case. I mean, you know, I don't think she's taken this social justice warrior icon role just out of the blue. You know, she's doing this to become the new face of feminism. Take the big man down, become the new face. I mean, I had her back in the very beginning until this message that she put on her Facebook page. But remember, to look to the true intentions in any situation. Was she simply looking for justice or doing so to reboot her career? I've been thinking about that for a while. I haven't seen anything with her in it in ages. I mean, Charmed was whatever, 10 years ago? So more likely, this is all coming to fruition because it's going to match Alyssa Milano and her role, and it's going to be a new reboot of Charmed, and we can watch that on Netflix. I mean, call me cynical, but no one these days simply stands up for justice unless they can monetize it and become famous in the process. I mean, that just seems to be the case. So this Harvey Weinstein thing is starting to get reframed by the left, and that's because the left does not allow its control to die, ever. And it's not as though there's going to be this enlightenment, this new awakening of people going, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that Hollywood is this corrupt. I cannot believe women are being treated so awfully. Because, you know, we complained about CEOs and income inequality and wage gaps and you know, the groping and the CEOs just having their way with their female employees and all the crap that we've been hearing, the war on women. Romney, you know, he's talking about banning birth control when he never did. We can go back and look at this. War on women was always supposed to be from the conservatives, but it looks as though the real war on women is with Hollywood. And it looks also as though the real warriors for women in the war on women are the conservatives. But that's going to get reframed. Look at how the left backed Bill Clinton. I mean, Tammy Bruce, who is actually a conservative now, she actually left the feminist movement simply because of Bill Clinton. Because when Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky happened, and Paula Jones and Juanita Broderick and all those people were starting to pop up everywhere, she was like, okay, all right, so let's get this guy. And everybody on the left said, no, we don't do that to our side. She's like, what? Isn't this what we're fighting for? So the left has no shame in supporting this rapist. Why would they do any different for Harvey Weinstein? So don't let the overall story of Harvey Weinstein simply become white male terrorist who grope women. Look at it as abuse of power. I mean, listen to what Rose McGowan said. She said, today I cried for those whose lives have been taken and whose lives have been irrevocably changed. I'm sick of prayers and crying. I'm sick of us innocents being terrorized by mentally sick white male terrorists. There's your buzzword right there. There's the reason why she's making this an issue, why she's having her accounts banned on Twitter for being so vocal. It's not because she wants to simply stop Hollywood's casting couch. It's because she wants to now take Harvey Weinstein and reframe it as white male terrorist. Can't be black male terrorist, can't be Asian male terrorist, can't be any of that. But going on with her little story here, a little post, calling it out, say it loud. The statistics do not lie. They are our ISIS, really. Okay. The news organizations are all participating in this mass lie by not calling it by its name, white male terrorism. Yes, it is uncomfortable to see the truth, but worse, it is a bullet in your flesh. Be brave. We need to call it what it otherwise is, or we'll never be able to fix the problem. If this terrorist were a black man or an Iraqi that slaughtered so many innocents, do you really think the news organizations would be calling them lone shooters? Jeez. The answer is no, of course not. By literally whitewashing the problem of white male terrorism, it continues its cancerous growth. We must seek and speak truth. Our lives depend on it. Well, here's the problem, Ms. McGowan. Your whole MO is to remake this argument with Harvey Weinstein as simply white males entitled and taking their way and having their way with everyone. But the problem here is it's bigger than that. It is abuse of power. It's why we do not want a large government leviathan, you know, running our everyday lives. It's why we don't want people like Hank Johnson and Sheila Jackson Lee and Chuck Schumer and idiots like that controlling our healthcare choices. It's really down to the fact that I don't want to have to go by the edicts of self-entitled morons who fly around on jets out to global warming events, who get $500,000 a speech and turn around and say, well, you've made too much money. There's a point where you made too much. We need to tax it. I don't want them making all the decisions in my life because their interests aren't the same as my interest. You shouldn't want that in your life either. You should want to evaluate what are your interests. Is the government going to provide you with the, are they going to meet your interest? Are they going to provide you with the solutions you want? Are they going to provide you with the things that you think you need to have for your family, for your success, for your growth? No, they're not. They're only going to meet the needs of what they want. And you're just going to have to sit there and go, oh, thank you for the crumbs. Thank you for, you know, providing me with something. Oh, great leader. That's not how it works. Natural rights are given out by God. God is never changing, and he is also never failing, and he is not an evil overlord. He's not some dictator in sky god in the clouds pretending to be something that doesn't, you know, exist. And he's not, you know, he's a just God. So that is where natural rights come from. Whether you believe in God or not, it's up to you. But you have to believe in there is a natural law. You can see it in nature. You have to realize that you cannot give that control over to people who are self-interested on their own end. Because what you get is you get yourself going up to the government saying, hey, can I get a little bit of this so I can live? And the government says, get on my casting couch. I'm going to Harvey Weinstein you. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
News on Harvey Weinstein has basically nuked everything off of the front page. You know what's going on over there in Catalonia, where they want independence and they passed a referendum that they voted on against Spain. And of course, Spain sends their military in during the middle of the election originally, a couple weeks ago, and starts shutting them down with violence. You know, we got the same thing happening in Kurdistan, or Kirkuk, over there in Iraq, where Iran and Iraq, which basically Baghdad is little Iran, they're going in and trying to attack the Kurds because the Kurds want independence. They want their own Kurdistan right there in between Iraq and what have you. And so all of that is going on. And of course, Weinstein takes over everything. No news about the motive of the shooter in Vegas. No news about, you know, any of that stuff. It's all just, you know, basically eviscerated when there's a different timeline now for the shooter. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we're getting conflicting news reports on what happened in Vegas, and we're not getting any information on what's going on with the Peshmerga and in Kurdistan or in Iraq, and we're also not getting information on Catalonia. All because of a Hollywood fat rapist. And one of the things that also got nuked was the Iran nuke deal. President Trump destroyed the Iran nuke deal and has said he's not going to certify it, or he's going to decertify it, which I'm fine with that. I mean, does anyone remember what happened a few months ago in Iraq? I mean, in Iran, that was significant? ISIS attacked Iran. Now, most people would be like, well, you know, Sunni, Shia, all that stuff. There's a reason why ISIS did this. There is a reason why we should not be arming Iran with nuclear material, because that's what's going to happen. We're going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to give you nuclear material so that you can make energy. Because, you know, global warming is only an issue with nuclear energy in America. We can give it to North Korea like Bill Clinton did in the 90s. What happened there? They started making missiles. They've been shooting them out over Japan. I mean, it is what it is now. So we're doing the same with Iran. Obama set this in motion. Iran got their money. John Kerry made sure to put the pallets of cash over there, which some had said was the interest on the money that was held when the Shah was ousted. We also know that if we're going to give them nuclear material, they're going to turn it into weapons. And it's been noted that they have. But let's also not forget why ISIS attacked them a few months ago. And it is because they have a relationship with Al-Qaeda. Yeah, the same Al-Qaeda that took down our towers in New York City, hit the Pentagon. Same Al-Qaeda that we were backing over in Syria to take Bashar al-Assad out. Because we thought, well, if we can keep them busy over there, then they're not going to plan to do anything to us. And Obama knew about this deal with Iran and Al-Qaeda going back from 2011. You know, it was a pipeline that they used to move people in and out. It was a way for them, for Al-Qaeda, to slip people into Syria and pull them back out. And in fact, there was one individual who actually came out and basically gave the scoop on this whole thing. A key Al-Qaeda defector. This is from The Long War. It's a journal that you can find online. He offered his explanation of the arrangement in a newsletter published by the Islamic State. The man was known as Abu Abdiyah al-Ludani. The Lebanese is what it was translated into. Is one of the most senior Al-Qaeda leaders to defect the Islamic State back in 2014. He was a top security official for Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan. After being demoted from his sensitive post, he joined Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's organization with ISIS. Al-Lubani, he quickly became a thorn in Al-Qaeda's side, revealing details about his former employer's inner workings. In an interview, he was asked how he managed to travel from Khorasan, which is the area that encompasses Afghanistan and Pakistan, to the caliphate's home in Syria after his falling out with Al-Qaeda leadership. Quote, "The matter was relatively easy," he said. "Coordinators from Al-Qaeda oversaw the entry of members into Iran, and the travelers remained there in guest houses for some time until their completion of their travel arrangements to Syria. This was the knowledge of the Shiite government in Iran. All of this was under their knowledge, even under the eye of its intelligence services," he said. "Simply put, once a traveler entered one of its guest houses, intelligence services knew of his arrival through those in charge of the guest houses. The safe house operators would meet with the Iranian intelligence services weekly, and the phones of the guest houses were tapped and under the Iranians' control." He said Al-Naba, he immigrated this way into Iran, and he stayed in Iran, and his stay was also prolonged in Iran until the Al-Qaeda coordinators confirmed he was not going to travel into the lands of the Islamic State, although he did just that. He claimed that he escaped from the fist of Iranian intelligence, which learned of his presence through the coordinators of Al-Qaeda safe houses. Al-Qaeda defender Abu Karamia al-Khorasani took exception to Lubanani's accusations that Al-Qaeda works with Pakistani intelligence, which is interesting too, since we're having issues with Pakistan, arguing that Al-Qaeda, in the Indian subcontinent's first attack, targeted the Pakistani Navy. Khorasani claimed that Lubanani is a former member of a, quote, "a movement supported by Iran." Lubanani also allegedly concealed the identity of the group to which he belonged before he entered Al-Qaeda. This group, the same group, Khorasani insisted, does not hide its relationship with Iran. The most curious aspect of the Iranian Al-Qaeda deal is that there's two odds that are against each other in Syria and elsewhere. Yet, according to the U.S. government, Al-Qaeda leaders have used the Iranian pipeline to shuttle cash and fighters and various destinations through Turkey and into Syria. The jihadists then form or join Al-Nusra Front, which is Al-Qaeda's official branch in Syria. Al-Nusra, which we've talked about a lot, seeks to topple Bashar Assad. Al-Qaeda's men also regularly fight Iranian forces and Iranian proxies, which raises a key question. Why has Iran allowed Al-Qaeda to continue operating its network even as the two are at war in Syria? Well, Lubanani provided an answer. "Although it may seem odd coming from me to say that Iran permitted the passage of fighters to Syria, despite the fact that they're going to fight his army, its militias, and its allies there, this is the reality. For Iran's biggest concern is that no operations happen on its soil." That's what he told Al-Naba. Lubanani said that Iran has secured the loyalty of Al-Qaeda by hosting the majority of the Al-Qaeda's leaders in its lands. Some of them, like Ataya Abd al-Rahman, have been allowed to travel freely. And Rahman, who served as Osama bin Laden's chief of staff, was killed in a U.S. drone strike in August of 2011. The Treasury Department noted weeks before Rahman's death that he had previously served as Al-Qaeda's emissary in Iran, a position which allowed him to travel in and out of Iran with the permission of the Iranian officials. Lubanani also mentioned the presence of Saif al Adele, and Abu Muhammad al-Marsari, love all these names, inside Iran. In 2015, both Adele and Marsari were reportedly freed in exchange for an Iranian diplomat who had been kidnapped by al-Qaeda operatives inside Yemen. These al-Qaeda leaders have not acknowledged the Shiites as infidels, and they even eat their slaughtered meat, Lubinati told him. Moreover, some of them consider the Iranians friends or allies in the war against America, and Iran further expects to benefit from al-Qaeda by putting pressure on America and its allies, the tyrants of the Gulf states. Now, he goes on to say that Iran supported Abdullah Azam Abridges. Supposedly, he split from al-Qaeda after executing an operation that targeted an oil tanker in the Arab Gulf a few years back. Lubinani was likely referring to the 2010 attack on the Japanese oil tanker back in July of that year, the M-Star, in the Strait of Hormuz. More than 3 years later, in 2013, Abdullah Azam Bridges launched a twin suicide attack outside of the Iranian embassy in Beirut, Lebanon. And the Long War reported that this could have been a form of blowback. Multiple reports indicated that Bridges had his own network inside Iran years beforehand. So we know that Iran has been allowing al-Qaeda to do all the disruption in Syria because Iran stands to have its own caliphate. That's why it's doing what it's doing with Iraq. That's why it is now putting pressure on Afghanistan and Pakistan. Because Iran is going to come through as soon as ISIS is knocked down and start filling the void. And we know that that's going to spill over into what's going on with Iraq and the Peshmerga, the Kurds. And why do we not back the Kurds? My theory is a little man named Erdogan over there in Turkey. I firmly believe that guy is the one who is cultivating this entire thing, because Erdogan wants his own caliphate too. They're all jockeying for that region, and they're all jockeying to take control of the vacuous elements that are happening, the vacuous pockets in these nations that are starting to appear because of the fact that it's all being disrupted. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Trump nuking the Iran nuke deal is very significant, especially when you look through the lens of what we just laid out. Iran is actually allowing al-Qaeda to operate within its borders so that it can be a conduit to go into Syria to try to topple Assad. So al-Qaeda has an agreement with Iran, and al-Qaeda being an adversary of America, I don't think we should be giving nuclear capabilities to Iran. I mean, that's just insane. And now with the developments of what happened in Iraq, Iran has actually backed Iraq to attack the Kurds. Now, keep in mind, there's the Iraqi Kurds and there's the Syrian Kurds. The Syrian Kurds are Marxist in ideology, whereas the Iraqi Kurds aren't. And the Iraqi Kurds are more prone to be sympathetic towards America. In fact, some Americans have actually joined them on the battlefield to attack ISIS. Well, about a month ago, the Kurds, through their army, the Peshmerga, went in and retook Kirkuk and eliminated ISIS like you would any sort of termite or roach. I don't know if you got that reference, but if you did, congratulations to you. Just tweet me and I'll send you a bag of Jolly Ranchers or something. But they eliminated ISIS from that region. Now, that area isn't a part of Kurdistan, but it is culturally Kurdish. So it was actually a part of Iraq. And back on September 25th, they voted to have independence, to which 93% of the vote was for that. That was the referendum that they had to push for independence from Iraq. And it's very similar to what was happening in Catalonia with Spain. And in fact, it's almost identical to the results. But, you know, this is an area that was in dispute with Iraq. And it's also something that, the Kurdistan has its area, but you can't think of it as you know, say the state of Virginia. You've got Richmond as the capital. You've got Fairfax County as your Kurdistan. You know, you can't think of it as Fairfax County decides to leave Virginia and you know, next thing you know, Virginia gets angry about it. It's different than that. It's more nuanced because the government of Baghdad is the Iraqi government. You know, they govern only certain areas because of their limited resources, and some of the outskirts are ungoverned areas. These are the areas to which, you know, terrorists are able to infiltrate and plan attacks, and they're the tribal areas, you know, up in the mountainous regions, because there's no forces going up there. You can kind of do what you want. And Kurdistan is kind of an area where that Kurdish population oversees its own entity, its own area, but it's still under the authority of the Iraqi government. And it's crazy when you get into the details of what happened on the firsthand accounts of everything that happened during this past weekend. Jenna Massawa, she's a reporter who was on the ground that day, said, Friday night we passed by one oil field now claimed by Baghdad. It's called Bai Hassan, and it's huge. Have a look, and it is blazing on fire. She followed up saying, the strangest thing about this situation is that both sides, Peshmerga and Iraqi army, are equipped and trained by the U.S. That is the craziest part of the whole thing. The fact that there's this dichotomy that we're running into, that we backed, you know, we gave weaponry and we sent advisors into, you know, the Kurds to give them some sort of support, but we never really backed them as we should have. But we backed Iraq because we liberated Iraq from Hussein, and then we wanted Iraq to flourish. And when ISIS began to emerge, then we wanted to fortify the Iraqi government to fight ISIS. And now Iraq, with the help of what is called the Shiite Hashad al-Shabai militia, which is the Iranian militia, they went together with Iraq and attacked the Kurdistan region on Monday. And the Peshmerga forces were faced with the attack after they eradicated that ISIS area. And of course, like I said, the most telling part of the entire battle is the fact that both sides were using U.S. Vehicles, armory, weaponry simultaneously. Quote, this military equipment was given to the Iraqi forces in the fight against ISIS, while such military support was not sent to the Peshmerga to defend themselves in the fight against the jihadist group. That was a statement from the general command of the Peshmerga forces. And my theory has always been that we never supported the Peshmerga and the Kurds, the Iraqi Kurds, because of Turkey, our alliance with Turkey. Erdogan despises them. And so we never gave full support as we should have, especially under the Obama administration, because it's Obama who was buddy-buddy with Erdogan. But anyways, Turkey is actually in full support of the Iraqi mission against the Kurds. Quote, we are closely following the steps of the Iraqi government that they're taking to establish its constitutional sovereignty over Kirkuk, the homeland of our Turkmen kin throughout history, said Turkish Foreign Ministry in a statement. Turkey will side with the Iraqi government in taking steps to ensure lasting peace and stability in the country, the statement read. Ankara in Turkey also welcomed remarks by Baghdad over the weekend that, quote, the presence of Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK fighters, in Kirkuk was a declaration of war. Turkey added it was ready to engage in any cooperation to end the PKK presence on Iraqi soil, a line that could amount to a threat of invasion for the Kurdistan region from the north. See, Erdogan has always thought of the Kurds as a threat, but the Syrian Kurds have always attacked Iraq and have conducted very al-Qaeda-like terrorist attacks on Turkey. But further, Turkey added it's ready to engage, Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan said it's previously implied military action alongside sanctions as the two countries continue to hold army drills nearby a vital commercial border crossing with Kurdistan in response to the referendum that Kurdistan attempted. Thus, we once again emphasize the importance we attach to the preservation of Iraq's political unity and territorial integrity, Ankara said. So why would the two opposing forces both desire a caliphate, Iran and Turkey? You know, Turkey's Sunni, whereas Iran is Shia. Why would they both be in cooperation with the elimination of the Kurds? Because the Kurds offer that border. And also, there is some other interest involved. Now, the Iraqi Prime Minister Abadi says it's more about unifying Iraq with the Constitution. And this is where it gets nuanced, because if you look at it from both angles, I can see both sides. You know, the Peshmerga are fighting for the Kurds, and the Kurds are saying, hey, this land that we have obtained back from ISIS is actually culturally ours, even though it's not part of the governing agreement that Iraq made with us on the area that we do reside in. And Abadi says it's more about unifying all of Iraq with its constitution. One of the opposing viewpoints on this was that it was something that Iraqi Prime Minister Abadi was planning, and he had been planning this operation to regain control of the area that ISIS took back in 2014. And in fact, the gentleman that I got this from, Kirk H. Soule, stated Peshmerga didn't have to withdraw entirely if they recognize Iraq's federal authority. They had no legal authority to operate outside of the KRG, but had the moral authority to protect Kurdish populations. Abadi's intent to assert federal authority in disputed areas was noted in Arab media. And I found some Arab media that I was translating, and it actually referenced some pretty, you know, amazing statements that we're not hearing in English media. Abadi revealed his agreement with France on training anti-terrorist forces and warned Peshmerga of any clashes with government troops in undisputed areas like Kirkuk. Stressed to negotiate with the Kurds before cancellation of the Kurds' referendum to leave on independence, and noted that the proposed Confederation of Kurds requires an amendment to the Constitution of two-thirds parliament approval. Abadi said his government signed an agreement with French security company to train Iraqi counterterrorism forces. They will train the staff on desert battles, in particular to protect the western Iraqi border and to prevent infiltration through it. He said that mobile phone companies, which are based in Kurdistan region, have confirmed their submission to the federal authority to the country. He noted that Iraq's oil belongs to all of Iraq, not a certain entity. And see, that's what it really comes down to. You know, he stated that this doesn't have anything to do with Iran, but Baghdad is basically an Iranian proxy, so I don't agree with him on that assumption. The Shia makeup of Baghdad's leadership works in concert with the Iranian government. So what we are seeing here is the same thing we are seeing in Syria. The battle over oil resources. This from Reuters. Iraq will reopen an old crude oil pipeline to Turkey, which bypasses one of its operated by the Kurdistan Regional Government, the KRG. The oil ministry said in a statement on Tuesday, Iraq's oil minister has asked state-owned North Oil Company, the operator of the Kirkuk fields, the state company for oil projects, and the state pipeline company to begin the process of restoring and reopening the Kirkuk-Chayan pipeline. This pipeline crosses territory taken by the Islamic State militants in 2014 and recaptured by U.S.-backed Iraqi forces over the past 2 years. You know, the details of the desperation of the Kurds with, you know, America was really telling as well. You know, Jenna Masawa, she tweeted, "This is Kirkuk right now. Roads are blocked, very tensed on the street. People are really angry. Peshmerga and armed citizens are everywhere. Otherwise, streets are empty. Feels like a civil war. I'm Lebanese. I know the feeling. Kirkuk's not safe. We're trying to get out of the city. We also just received news that the PUK sector commander base in Taka was actually in South Kirkuk is now in the hands of Iraq army. I can describe how angry people are on the streets. This is disappointment that some Peshmerga withdrew without fighting. Okay, city is out of control. They shot over heads. People are angry at everyone. They took my microphone and destroy it. I can't film a thing. Iraqi police, led by Kurdish commander Sahad Qadr, is trying to get us to safety out of the city. I can't thank them enough. Commander tells us he can't let the police convoy take us out of Kirkuk. People will think we are withdrawing and they might shoot at us. Commander is sending one police car to take our fixer out of Kirkuk. Best plan by judging by the circumstances. So the road that we took 1 hour ago is now a checkpoint of the Iraqi army. That means we have entered the residential areas. A Kurdish fighter walks up to us and says, hey, you're from the West. I have a message. Where is America? Where is Europe? Everyone here in Kirkuk is complaining about Iran, too. Why is the West allowing Iranians to take over? Now, Kurdistan is being attacked by Iraq in concert with Iranian militias, and Turkey is actually praising this and wanting to provide support, and there's oil interest involved in all of this. I mean, there's a bigger issue at hand here, and I think eliminating the Iran deal is something that was justified because we should not be propping up Iran. We shouldn't be propping up Erdogan and Turkey, but we do. I mean, Donald Trump actually congratulated him on his reelection. So we really need to think about things in a bigger picture in regards to the Middle East. Because if we allow Syria to fall, and if we allow the Kurds to fall, we're going to basically give this over to Iran and Turkey to hash out. And Russia has already made agreements with Iran and Turkey. More so with Iran, but they have made agreements with Turkey because of how we have played into the Syrian Kurds in fighting ISIS. It's just a big mess. And we're not going to clean this mess up until we get serious about our policy, until we get serious about standing on principle and going, you know, Al-Qaeda is a part of al-Nusra. We probably shouldn't be training them, even though it might, on the short term, be beneficial to us in defeating ISIS. I mean, it's crazy that we even thought that that was a good idea. So keep that in mind when you're looking at the events going on. Harvey Weinstein is a giant distraction, although it needs to be addressed because Hollywood needs to melt down. That was a must. Culture needs to be aware that Hollywood is a cesspool of garbage and that giving attention to Hollywood is giving attention to the filth and bottom feeding of American society. But we can't take our eyes off the ball like we have with the Vegas shooting, like we have with the Iranian Al-Qaeda agreement, like we have with what's happened in Catalonia, like we have with what's going on in Iraq with the Kurds. We can't allow those things to be distracted by cultural things of bling, cultural shiny objects that are going to remove our focus.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Welcome back. We went a little long on the last segment, so we only have a couple of minutes. But to tie this all together, we walk away from this Iran nuclear deal because obviously they're helping Al-Qaeda and they're attacking Kurdistan and they're going, death to America! Death to America! You know, they've been calling that for a while. So why give them nuclear capabilities? Especially when Ted Cruz says this deal was a sham. He said, yeah, the UN is going to monitor the testing sites, but military bases were off limits. Ted Cruz said, guess where they're going to be doing the testing? It was designed to allow cheating. And now the Washington Free Beacon has said that they're actually going to start, that Iran is actually going to start looking towards making nuclear weapons. Senior Iran leaders praised the North Korean regime this weekend and claimed that the Islamic Republic is encouraged to follow Pyongyang's nuclear pathway following the Trump administration's decision to decertify Iranian compliance with the landmark nuclear agreement. Quote, the U.S. president showed by his remarks again that the U.S. government is not trustworthy and the U.S. behavior towards the nuclear deal persuades itself of countries like North Korea, he quoted. If the U.S. Congress decides to violate and abrogates the nuclear deal and its undertakings, the Islamic Republic of Iran will have no motivation to continue the path. And that was from the chair of the Iranian Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Commission. Now, we can take Iran at their word because they've said death to America over and over and over. And so why should we even make a suicidal deal in the first place? Is it because we have to equalize the stage of America with other nations for the global governance push? Is it because Valerie Jarrett Obama's advisor is Iranian? Is it because Huma Abedin, Hillary's advisor, was Iranian as well? Who even knows? So while America was wrapped up in the rape and sexual predator of Harvey Weinstein, the fat, you know, Hollywood, you know what, we should be concerned that America is about to be Weinsteined by a nation that screams death to America and threatens us with nuclear weapons in the name of Allah. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. You can listen to me on Talk America Radio. We're on every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Liberty Channel. We air again on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Liberty Channel. Catch us on the Justice Channel on Talk America Radio, 7 p.m. on Saturdays and 8 a.m. Sunday mornings Eastern Standard Time. You can also check out the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Spreaker. Get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in your streaming store. It's available and it has the last 10 most recent shows available for streaming. Donate to the program, patreon.com/Adrian Slade Show. You're going to get advanced screenings of the show before anyone else, and you're also going to get extras. And it's $2 a month. All you got to do is donate $2 a month, and you're going to be a part of the Slade Brigade. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in.